We also have a, it's a Christmas play. It's going to be on New Year's Eve, and that's going to be coming up next week on Sunday night. And not this Sunday, but Sunday after that. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll go to Revelation chapter 20. We've been in studying the book of Revelation. And, we better take up the offering first. Got to do that. I forget about that. Let the ushers come on up. We'll do that first. Ushers, come on. Amen. Y'all enjoy that, kids? Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. One day this is really going to happen. We read the book of Revelation. We've been, like I said the other week, Sunday, I said, when Eddie got up here and said, preacher, he'd been back 10 years in church, and I've been on Revelation for a long time. And and I said, man, I love the book of Revelation. I'm looking forward to the Lord coming back. Well, like I told you, we're in Revelation chapter 3. That's where we live right now. That's where we're at. But this is future. We've been going through the book of Revelation. There's a future, verse 1, it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of bottomless pit with a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon. There's the trouble right there, the old dragon. And the devil, the angel is going to get a hold of him. Now, and I believe that angel that grabbing him is Michael, the archangel, because Michael in the book of Jude ends up disputing with the devil. And but in Revelation 12, he whips the devil. And Michael, the archangel, didn't want to take him on beforehand. And Michael ends up taking him on and whipping him in Revelation 12. And Michael the archangel, that's not Jesus Christ. Michael the archangel, God has fighting angels. He has angels that proclaim things, that sing, and he has fighting angels. God's got armies, armies of angels. And we went through this thing. We've been through this 100 times. He's got angels that one angel killed 185,000 men one night. You know what? You know what I, when I got saved, what I realized I was on a winning side. I'm on the winning side. If you're not saved, you're not living for God, you're following a loser.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You're following a loser. And I'm not trying to mock you. I'm just telling you the devil is a loser. And people, I don't know why. How come you never hear people cursing the devil or saying, you know, rather they say God blank. They always accuse Jesus Christ. Every time problems happen in life, it's always God's fault. But it's never the devil's fault or never their fault. It's always God's fault. And a lot of the problems that we have is our own stupidity from making bad decisions. And right here, the devil gets cast in the lake of fire, and he gets locked up for 1,000 years. And I've told you last time, I wondered, why only 1,000 years, Lord? I mean, the Lord gives him another opportunity to come back out, and he comes back out and persuades nations to follow him again. And it's all in God's plan. When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Lord, why'd you let him back out after 1,000 years? I want to know. I mean, I know 1,000 years with the Lord is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. But why'd you let him out for after 1,000 years? You chained him up. My man, you should have kept the sucker in the chain. And why you let him loose? But he says, laid hold on the dragon. And I figured out, I think I know why the Lord let him loose. It's to prove people. You know, the devil is God's prover. And accuser. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, but he also proves. And he lets him out because there's going to be people that go through the tribulation period, people that made it through and go through the tribulation period, going to go right into the millennium, and they're going to have children. They're going to raise family that's in the millennium. And it says, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up. And people always say, you know, you hear these TV preachers saying, I bind you, Satan, and all that stuff. They don't know what they're talking about. They're crazy. They're, Satan, you can't bind. The only one can bind Satan is Jesus Christ and the angel that God gives power. Now, you can hinder. The Bible says you can resist the devil. And the Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You can resist. What I mean by that is you're going to be tempted. You'll be tempted in this life. You'll be tempted to sin. And the devil will be right there whispering in your ear. And you go, man, I ain't doing that. That's God, that's wrong. And call it what it is and resist him, and he'll flee from you. But you mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ, another he'll flee from you. You mentioned, whenever I felt like I'm being attacked, I start singing songs about the blood. I start singing songs about Jesus Christ's blood. I start singing about, well, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And you start singing songs about the glorifying God. That's why we come into church. We sing songs to glorify God. And that kind of helps you to get your mindset right. And also to get your thoughts right and get the devil away from you. Now, the devil can't stand it when you start praising God. I challenge you, next time you're going through trouble or trials in your life, start praising God, start giving him, singing songs. And I've been studying about David. David's been really on my mind. I've been studying this thing about David. David, boy, is an unusual character. He comes in a time where he's a guy that's after God's own heart. I wondered if there's somebody on this planet right now like David that was after God's own heart. And whatever God thought, whatever God said, David agreed with it. You know what happens to us as Christians, whenever God says something, sometimes everything's going good, everything's fine, as long as it's going our way. But when God says no, or not now, we get mad. We get upset. I wonder if there's a man or a woman that's seeking God and they're after God's own heart. And I'm going to tell you something. What happens to a person when they that way? You read your Bible, you find out how they come out. They come out right. And if you don't, you don't come out right. It doesn't come out right. If a man's or a woman's seeking God, if a man's raising his family for the Lord, and a woman's trying to raise her family for the Lord, it'll come out right. Because we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God will work it out right, even though they might not see. You might be in a fog and you say, ain't no way it can work out. No way it can happen. God will work it out. I've seen the Lord do it over and over and over. I'll tell you what, they sing a song, we've come too far to turn back now. And I'll tell you what, I've seen God do too many miracles. I've seen God do too many things to turn back now. I know he's able, more than able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. But what a problem is, we want our way and God doesn't see it our way, then we're going to go our way anyhow. We're going to do our own thing. It's like Cain. We're going to do our own thing. You're either raising Cain or you're raising Abel. God's able. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him and that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And we talked about this. Right now, you see in ISIS and all that, all the Muslims, that's what they believe in, killing people, cutting their heads off. And that's what they do. If you don't convert, can you imagine if ISIS runs the world, what's going to happen? And ISIS will eventually, under the Antichrist, will get control under the Antichrist. You say, what about this Antichrist thing? Well, he's coming. He's coming. I believe he's alive. And the Bible says this. It says they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. So, well, God didn't deliver them. Well, sometimes he chooses to deliver, like Daniel in the lion's den. And sometimes with David, he chooses to, and sometimes he chooses not to. It's up to him. And you can ask him when you get there why he chooses, what way he chooses. He says, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. These are people that made up their mind. They don't care. Though he slay me, like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up. You can't be half-hearted in serving God. You can't be, Jesus said, you can't love God and mammon at the same time. You got to have, we all go through times in our life where we're kind of rocky. But God wants you to be steady. He wants you to make up your mind. We sing a song in the song book. It's called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. You know, a lot of people sitting in here right now, you decided to follow Jesus, but you ain't following him now. No turning back. No turning back. Why'd you turn back for? Why'd you turn back for? I mean, why are you going backwards? Because God never parts waters for people going backwards, only for forward. What are you going backwards for? He says, beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and or in their hands. I mean, they've already got all the technology right now to do it. They've got all the technology right now. They're trying it out on people right now. This technology they're trying on animals. Now they got all, they're ready, man. They're ready. You say, what is this thing, man? Maybe God's holding off. I mean, I pray for America. I don't know. How many of y'all pray for our country? Y'all pray? Amen. I hope you do. I'll tell you what, wouldn't it be terrible to get to heaven, you'd be complaining about our country, and you get up there, and the Lord said, well, you never prayed about it. Yeah. You complained about it, but you never prayed about it. Right. I pray for our country. I pray God keep our country free. Why? So we can still worship God the way we want. Amen. We still have freedom to hold a Bible. You know what? Adolf Hitler and all the rest of the dictators that came in, they get rid of the Bible. You know it's against the law in North Korea to have a Bible? They'll kill you if they catch you with a Bible. And you know what happens in Afghanistan? If you're caught with a Bible, they cut your hands off. I mean, man, I know it's Christmas time, people get depressed, they go through all kinds of emotional thing because they ain't having the money for this, ain't money. Hey, it ain't about the money. It ain't about the gifts. I mean, you want your little children when they wake up, you want their eyes to go, whoa, like that. You want to give them something, but it ain't about that. I tell you this, if you'll pray, say, God, help me to be able to give them kids something, I guarantee you God will allow you to give something, especially in America. In America, my Lord, in America, there shouldn't be a kid waking up Christmas morning without a gift. Shouldn't be a kid nowhere in America. With all the blessings and all the goodness of people that give at Christmas time, there shouldn't be a kid nowhere without a present. There shouldn't be a kid going without food on Christmas Day. I mean, it shouldn't be. And if you know somebody, hey, man, tell them. We'll try to take care of it. We'll try to do something about it. But man, here we are in America. We're free. God's blessed us. And you know what made America great? Don't tell me. You can't persuade me one bit that it was our technology, our knowledge, and all that stuff. I'm gonna tell you something. What made America great was God in this book. What gave us our freedom was God in this book. And people try to say, "Well, I hate America. America. Oh, shut up. Get out of here. Go somewhere. Go to Afghanistan." Go to Iraq, see how much freedom you got. I thank God for America. I pray for our president. I pray for Barack Obama. I pray for Donald Trump. I pray for George Bush. I pray for all of them. Pray God help them. You know, God, the heart of a king's in the hand of God. And God can persuade them one way or the other. And I pray for them. I pray God help them. And God keep America free so we can continue supporting missions, sending the word of God out. Pray for that. And we ought to be praying for it. And it says, but the rest of the dead live not again, now I want you to see this, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that part of the first resurrection. For such, now check this out. For such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It says, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Jesus Christ is called, he's called the first fruits. If you read your Bible over in 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's called the first fruits. And you say, God likens it over in the book of Leviticus about reaping a crop. And the way he likens that thing, he likens it about a crop coming up, the first fruits. And then you have, then you have the harvest, and then you have the gleaning. And the harvest is where is the rapture, when the Lord takes us out. And the gleamings is going to be those in the tribulation period. Now, look at First Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 20. He says, now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. And since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, so, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, first Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. That's the harvest. Then cometh the end when he shall have received up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the Bible says the last enemy, look at this, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Now, he chains up the devil for 1,000 years. Then it says in Revelation chapter 20, take your Bible, look back at Revelation 20. Look what it says. Now, it says the last, death is our enemy. Yeah, people get mad because, you know, they say, God took my mother. God took my father. God took my mother and father, too. He took my grandmother and grandfather. I mean, he took a lot. He took my brother. And you say, are you mad at God? No, I'm not mad at God. My family was saved. Thank God. I'll see him again. And it says, look at this. In Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the what? Death is going to be cast in the lake of fire. Death is our enemy. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's the victory? One day, death is going to be cast away. It says, this is, look what it says. Death and hell shall be cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Then it says this, Here's folks, that check this out. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to ask you something tonight. Are you written down? Is your name? My name got put in the Lamb's book of life September 30th, 1974, about 10:30 at night. God wrote down Alan Ryman, Alan Lee Ryman. When my mother was mad, she called me Lee. Alan Lee Ryman. September 30th, 1974, around 10:30 in the evening, trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And you know what? When I get there, I'm going to write beside it, no regrets. No regrets. I thank God today I got saved. And I'm not ashamed of him. Amen. I'm not ashamed of what he's done for me, how good he's been to me. I don't understand a Christian that God's saved, God's been good to you, that you would be ashamed of him and that you wouldn't stand up for him when he says he's going to take care of your enemies. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God takes care of the enemies. You know what your enemy is? The world, he's going to take care of that. The flesh, he's going to take care of that. You know why? He's going to give you a brand new body. And the devil, and he's going to take care of him. All your enemies, God's going to take care of them. How come you won't serve him now? How come you won't stand up for him now? Are you saved tonight? Do you know it? Is your name written down? Lamb's Book of Life? Just here, the Book of Life is people that went through the tribulation, went through all that. They went through that. I don't have to worry about going through hell on earth. I've had men tell me, this is hell on earth. I said, really? I look around, I said, whoo, this is pretty good. This is hell on earth, preacher. I said, really? This looks nice. If this is hell on earth, man, poof. I'm doing pretty good. If this is it, this is the only part of hell I'll ever see. Yeah. This is the only part I'll ever see. If you're not saved, this is the only part of heaven you'll ever see. If you're not saved. Well, are you saved tonight? Do you know it? Do you know you're saved? Do you know your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Let's pray. Father, I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, that I know there's family, relatives here, and we care about them. And, Lord, I know the Baptist church can't save them. I know sprinkling babies can't save babies. Baptizing people can't save them. But if they'll call upon you, if they'll ask you, and, Lord, I know you're right there listening. You listen to our prayers. You listen to when we call. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd help my brothers and sisters here. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us not to deny you in the middle of our trials and tribulations and feeling sorry for ourselves. Help us not to feel sorry for ourselves, God. I believe that's a sin. My Father, I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, help somebody here that's not saved. Tonight would be a great night for them to get saved. Oh, God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. How many could say, preacher, I know if I died right now, I know where I'm going. Without a doubt. Amen. All over the room. Amen. All over the room. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight, you could not raise your hand. Is there anybody here? They say, preacher, I'm not saved, and I could not raise my hand when everybody else raised their hand. I could not raise my hand because I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Nobody's looking around. Nobody. And you say, I'm not sure, but would you pray for me that I would make the right decision to get saved? Would anybody like that? Is anybody like that? Slip up your hand real quick and put it back down. Anybody? Anybody in this room tonight? Say, I'm not saved, but pray for me. All right. As far as I can see, everybody's saved. Hail, hallelujah. And I'd say this. Is everybody living for the Lord? This is Christmas time. We're talking about gifts, talking about giving out, giving things. God's given the greatest gift for us. And he's given us that salvation, which is free. I tell you what, let's make something of it. Let's make something of him, how good he's been to us. He's a good father. You know that? I don't think any of us could be able to stand before his throne and say, you've been a bad father to me. I know there's a lot of kids that they're probably looking for their dads in America. And they want to tell their dad, you forsook me when I was young. You didn't care. But they could tell their mother, too. You forsook me when I was young. You didn't care about me. But you know what? Nobody will be able to say that about God. You won't be able to tell God you forsook me and you didn't care about me. Because God proves his love day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. He proves his love. He won't bless open rebellion, but he proves his love to you. He sure does. And if you love him, if you love him, you'd want to serve him. Father, I pray, God, bless my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. Thank you for the children. God, I was just telling somebody tonight, these little children, that like that little boy yelling to me, he loved me because I just zip up his coat, made sure he was warm. My Father, you do that for us every day. You take care of us. My Father, help us, like Jesus said, go and do likewise. Help us to do and show people love, that the love of God from our hearts, and help us to care about people. Help us to love people. We want to see them saved. Lord, help us not to be, self-centered, stuck on stupid. Help us, Lord God, to care about people this Christmas time, and my Father, in even all times of year, not just Christmas time, but all times of year. Help our church, Lord, have a heart for people and want to see people saved. Help it never be said that we're a money-grubbing church, God, and just all we care about is money. Help it never be said about us. Help us to be said that we care about people and we love people and want to see people come to you and love you and serve you. And Lord, thank you again tonight, God, for these children. Bless them, put the fear of God in and give them a tender heart. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Kim, why don't you come on? We'll take a prayer request tonight. We always take a, if you have a prayer request, you're visiting with